Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. I'm in conversation all week with my friend Anita Morjani. She's the New York Times bestselling author of Dying to Be Me, which is an accounting of her near-death experience and her almost miraculous recovery from cancer and the maybe even more miraculous shift in who she is and how she is in the world since that time. We're talking about her new book, What If This Is Heaven? How Our Cultural Myths Prevent Us from Experiencing Heaven on Earth. And today, we talk about loving yourself without it being gag-worthy. And maybe it isn't for you, but it was for me. Just the whole idea of loving yourself was something that used to creep me out. But actually, the way she talks about it, it just makes a lot of sense. And also what unconditional love is. And I think that's a particularly nice to hear that from the perspective of the unconditional love as she experienced it having died. So enjoy.
So in the book, you lay out these 10 myths, cultural myths that prevent us from experiencing heaven on earth. And I want to highlight over the rest of this podcast series, I want to highlight a few of the myths. And the one I want to talk about today is the myth that loving yourself is selfish. And I wanna just highlight it by saying, like, I grew up. So you grew up in Hong Kong, is that right?
Yes.
You're Hong Kong. So
I
grew up as if I was English. I didn't actually grow up in England. I got there later. But so I grew up with sort of all the repression of as if. When I hear somebody say, "You just need to love yourself," there's something in me. There's like a gag reflex. Now, even though I get it. At one level, what do you mean when you talk about loving yourself?
If the words love yourself gives you this gag reflex, I would replace those words out and still mean something very similar. It's to know that you're worthy and deserving. And basically, that's what it is. It is to realize, it is really to know that you're worthy and deserving of whatever it is that you have come here to be and do, because most of us still live with this feeling that, oh, I could never do that. And so we don't even try. Whereas maybe that is what we came here to be. Maybe that was the desire that drove us to come to bring forth our life force energy into this body. And yet we come here and we get conditioned into believing, no, I could never do that. So yeah, it's to know that you are deserving and worthy of expressing all that you are.
And you tell a sort of a lovely story in the book where you're talking to a friend who really thinks that loving themselves would be selfish, and you talk about, well, if you love thy neighbor as thyself, but you don't love thyself.
What does that mean?
Your neighbor. So so can you talk about that a bit?
Yes. So the thing is, as kids, we're taught that you have to love your neighbor as yourself, love thy neighbor as thyself. But the minute we show any love for ourselves, we're accused of being selfish. So really, it turns that whole statement into an oxymoron, because, you know, if we are brought up to believe that to do anything for the self is selfish, then to say love thy neighbor as thyself means exactly that. Okay, if I don't do it for myself, why should I do it for my neighbor? Whereas I truly believe that if we had no problem receiving, if we didn't put a wall around ourselves, if we had no problem receiving kind gestures, receiving from people, we would actually have no problem sharing and giving. Mm-hmm. We really would. But because we've been taught not to receive, it's selfish to put ourselves first, what we end up doing is when we see someone else taking care of themselves, we judge them as being selfish because we were taught it's selfish to do it for ourselves. And then what happens is that because we don't know how to fulfill ourselves, we then take this person out into the world who has this big hole that needs to be fulfilled by others. And And so we take this person who needs to be fulfilled by others, and when others don't fulfill you, we start to judge them. And so we bring about this dysfunctional person that looks for partnerships in people who can fulfill us, when truly, when we fulfill ourselves, and we just keep fulfilling ourselves to the point where the person we bring out into the world is a joyful, fulfilled person who has nothing to share except joy, because there's no hole in there, there's no neediness, then that's the person we bring out into the world. And everybody loves to be around someone who is so fulfilled and self-actualized and joyful, because they need nothing from anybody. People love to swarm around.
I always think of those champagne fountains from 1930s movies where you know, you fill the glass on top and it overflows and it fills all the glasses underneath.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the other analogy I sometimes use is that of a light bulb. I mean, imagine if we are all light bulbs. Imagine if all of us are light bulbs and we think it's selfish to light our own bulb. We think, oh, I can't light my own bulb. Someone else has to light my bulb. It's selfish to light my bulb. So when we believe it's selfish to light our bulb remains dark, but we gravitate to the bulbs that are already lit. But if you light your own bulb, you are shining brightly for everybody around you. You know, and so we have to stop thinking in terms of, oh, all the other bulbs are dark, so I shouldn't light mine, or they'll think I'm selfish. And, you know, it's like saying everyone else is in fear, everybody else is suffering, so I shouldn't be happy, because that would be selfish. I need to also be suffering and in fear with them. There is, it's basically like two darknesses doesn't make a light. Two fears don't make a joy.
Yeah, but four lefts and you'll be right back where you started. I want to read something. It feels silly reading you your own book, but I there were just so many bits that I highlighted, and I want to read you a bit from this myth of that loving yourself is selfish. Imagine suddenly realizing that none of your beliefs, values, judgments, opinions, insecurities, doubts, and fears are actually you. That none of those things have anything to do with who you truly are. And that in fact, they're just the layers of filters you've accumulated from all your life's experiences. And then imagine those layers being blown open so that the truth of who you really are is laid bare for you to view in all its glory. I had always forsaken myself, put myself last, always felt unworthy and unlovable. But there in that realm of death, I saw myself through the eyes of God, and I realized that far from being unloved and unlovable, I was actually a beautiful child of the universe who was loved unconditionally simply because I exist. Can you talk a little bit about unconditional love?
Yes. To me, unconditional love and divine love are one and the same thing, simply because in actuality, if love is not unconditional, that means we're saying it's conditional. If it's conditional, then it's not love. I mean, how can, the minute it becomes conditional, it's not love. So to me, love is truly, it is always unconditional, and it is knowing who we truly are. So I want to say here that I think a lot of us use the word love in the wrong context, or maybe we need to develop or create another word that means divine love or unconditional love. Because unconditional love for self means loving myself regardless, even if I've made a mistake, even if I've failed, even if I've launched a huge project that's fallen flat on its face and everybody is laughing at me, it means I don't laugh at myself, that I can pick myself up, give myself a hug and say, it's okay, at least I tried. It means realizing that who you are is an expression of the universe or an expression of God. It's being able to look in the mirror and know that shining out from behind your eyes is a facet of God or a facet of the universe that has chosen to express itself from this physical body. It means knowing that and not denying that facet of God or universe to express itself. That means not suppressing it, not denying it, not criticizing it, not making it small, not beating it down, not treating it like a doormat, because it is an expression or a facet of God that has chosen to express itself through your physical body. That's what it means to me.
Well, and as you say, what that kind of points to is that if you can open up to that, that is loving yourself.
Yes, if you can open up to that, that is loving yourself. And the other thing I want, the other piece I would like to add to that is that when I actually did experience that state of death where I felt I had crossed over into the other realm, when I was there, I realized that that not only was I not my physical body, I mean, I realized when I crossed over that I had left behind not just my physical body, but I had left behind my race, my religion, my culture, my gender, and all the beliefs that I had accumulated over a lifetime. All of that was left behind. I realized that what crossed over, the only thing that makes it to the other side, and although I say only thing, what makes it to the other side is actually something that is far greater, far more powerful. And it was my pure essence. It was pure love. It was pure God. We can call it anything we want, but it was something that was so huge and so powerful. And I believe that whatever label we give it, it doesn't do it justice. It makes it small. And when we're in our bodies, we think we are whatever culture, whatever race, whatever gender. And we think every label we add makes us more. Actually, every label reduces us. Who we truly are is so much bigger than any label. And we only realize it when we're outside of our bodies, when we shed our bodies. And that is another driving force behind me writing and sharing my story, is basically don't wait until you die to realize who and what you truly are. You can realize it now.
And I really just want to highlight that last thing that Anita said. Don't wait until you die to realize who and what you really are. You can realize it now. The book is What If This Is Heaven? How Our Cultural Myths Prevent Us from Experiencing Heaven on Earth. And you can find out more about Anita and what she does at anitamorjani.com. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about our true nature, our innate nature, and why we don't need to be fixed. Until then, have fun, learn heaps. We'll talk to you soon.